messed up. Because Friday night, oh, I guess, yeah, it was Friday night. I can't remember what night it was. I think it was, yeah, when Christine was speaking about being blessed, Abraham's blessing. And I felt I had a word about foot washing that night, about what Jesus did. And I thought, Lord, and Michael was not paying attention to me. And so I thought, no, I'm messing with you. And I said, Lord, if he asked me to close in prayer, I'll share about the foot washing. And he didn't. I thought, so okay, well, it wasn't the Lord, you know. That was my first fleece. And so then when you did that, I thought, oh my gosh, this is what it's about. Because blessing, the word bless in Hebrew, barak, when the Aaronic blessing of Numbers 12, when, you know, the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, let his face shine upon you, the whole thing. The word bless means this, means to kneel down and impart character into somebody. That's what it means. And so what the Lord says, he says, the Lord bless you. So what he was saying is the Lord was kneeling down, blessing your feet with his character. They would walk in it and you would invoke his name everywhere you go. And so when Jesus was washing the feet of the disciples, he was fulfilling the Aaronic blessing, which was he was a servant of all. And he would serve all. And he said, if he could wash your feet, then you should wash everybody else's feet the same way. But Peter, you know, Mr. Righteous, in that second, we always laugh at Peter because the truth is we're all just like him. But the fact was, he said, you know, I'm not worthy. But when Jesus said, you'll basically saying, if you don't allow me to do this, you'll not walk in my character. And so what Peter said, I want it all. I want it from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. I don't just want to walk in your character. I want to be who you are. So of all the disciples, he's the one that caught the prophetic picture of what was saying. So when you did that, it was a whole picture of the very thing that God is doing here. So I honor you. I honor you for doing that. And his dream, I think there's a cross-pollination of what we bring here from Louisiana. Y'all may not know much about our state. Most people don't. We're a very weird state in many different ways. It still won't change. You know, we still have Napoleonic laws, and we don't have counties. We have parishes. We do everything different as we think that's our uniqueness. But one of the things about our city, where I'm from, Shreveport, Louisiana, if you probably don't know where that is, we're in the northwest corner, right by Texas and Arkansas. And there was a move in the 1940s and 50s called the Voice of Healing. And this was a worldwide healing movement that moved all across the world. And there was a man named William Branham and Gordon Lindsay, who, you know, started Christ for the Nations, and another guy named Jack Moore. They were three guys who hosted the healing ministry for the nations. And Shreveport was the hub for it. And they would have Voice of Healing conferences there and meetings. And there was a church there called Life Tabernacle, which was the host house of the move of God there. Well, our house that we pastor now there is the son-in-law of Jack Moore is the pastor that birthed the house that I'm in. So we're going after that DNA of the Voice of Healing. And so we've had many conferences. Bob Jones and a lot of big guys came, and we called it Restoring the Voice of Healing. And what we're trying to do is God told us to reopen the wells. And we had Ray Hughes and all these guys come, and we did a lot of prophetic worship and intercession to open these wells. And so what we carry is an anointing for healing. But and it's called the Voice of Healing. So it's also the prophetic with healing. It's not just laying hands like John G. Lake would have just laid hands and you were healed. What we do, what we function in, is we see, and what we see comes to pass. That's what's like the anointing on our community and our region, and for that thing. So it's not that any other model is better or worse. It's not. It's just that's what we have. And Brother Branham, if you know anything, there's a lot of controversy around here. I've studied his life. That's what he functioned in. If he didn't see it, he didn't pray for it. Okay, so it's just a little different. And it's kind of what Jesus said. I only do what I see the Father doing. I only say what the Father's saying. That's kind of what he functioned in. And so what we do in our healing ministry that we see is that God just gives us prophetic visions or pictures when we're praying for people or whatever. And when we see it, we just declare it, and then God heals. That's kind of what happens. And so I just give one testimony. I was in Ukraine, and a lady came up to me, stage 3 liver cancer, and you know, just asked me to pray for her. Well, so I said, let me pray, and I go in the spirit, and I see her veins full of cancer, and I see them evacuated. I just see them leave. I see the cancer leave. And so I just tell her, I said, this is what I saw. I saw evacuate and just leave your veins. That's all I said. No great prayer, and give her the 5-minute charismatic prayer that makes the person feel better. You know, a lot of times we feel like we got to have a long prayer. We don't ever see where Jesus ever prayed for the sick. He always declared healing, right? That's what he declared it. He said, rise up, get healed. You're healed, right? That's what he did. It's not wrong to pray. I think that's just where we are. You know, we just go through that. Anyway, so 2 weeks later, she writes me an email. She's went to the doctor, and they say they can find no cancer in her body. Now, it's easy to not take pride in that, because all you did is say what you saw. So it wasn't like you just prayed and the fire had left you, and you felt this impartation, and you know you had a big part of it. I didn't have any of that. I say, you're healed, all right? So I just want to say that for you guys, that washing of that word for this family back here is very important. That's a prophetic word that brings your healing. Now, you have to receive the word. You've got to say, I agree with that word, and I want that word. And so that's part of the prophetic, is we have to. And I want to say this, when prophetic comes like that, now he specifically called them, but we call this in the prophetic. If you smell the perfume of that word, go ahead and sniff it in and just take it yourself, all right? So if Christine's got this beautiful fragrance on, you do today, right? It's called the Holy Ghost, right? So she's, it may be maybe baby puke every once in a while. But anyway, but it's on you. If I'm around here, I get to experience a little bit of what's on her. And the closer I get to her, the more I get of it, right? So when the prophetic's floating in the room for somebody and you say, I need that word, just take it in. I take in the perfume of that word, and I want some of it for myself, all right? I want it. I want it for that place. God is not a respecter of person. He's going to say, only one person can have that, all right? He wants us all to have everything that he's given. Amen? I sound like a Pentecostal making you say amen, all right? This is weird. I want to add this prophetic because everything's moving in the spirit around here. Before service, even during service, the Lord said to me, this house is sitting on Psalm 65. And he said, it's moving in the room right now. I said, okay. So as they were worshiping and the move was coming, and then you got up here and said, God said y'all were going to have an influence in 65 nations. Is that correct? Is that what you said? So it's floating in the room right now. So I want to activate that word. And I want to say this, that if you have a heart for nations, amen. If you don't, you need to repent. All right? Because the inheritance of Psalms chapter 2 is he died for the nations. And one of the things we're going to present to him are the nations. We're going to lay up at his feet, Lord, here's China. Here's America. Here's what we died. Here's what we gave our life for. Because you died for those nations, every tribe and tongue. And so we want to lay it before you. And so our heart is for the nations. And if you don't have that, get it. I told Michael, we talked the other day, I feel like God is birthing something powerful here for the nations. And it was really growing. I think the Mongolian group is part of it. But there's a whole heart. Because when you get that heart for the nations, your mind shifts. I need to go to the nations. Every time I travel to nations, my church, when I come back, they said, you need to travel more, Pastor. Because when you come back, something new is on you. Because what you do, you start getting a biblical worldview. You start seeing the way God sees the world rather than your little sphere of influence of where you are. And if you can't go to the nations, bring them to you. Just invite them here, okay? And before I forget, I saw this for you as well, even for the team here. I saw you going around in a new ministry and creating, I don't know, they're meetings, but they're more than meetings. They were moments. And the name of them, I saw the name flying in the spirit. It said, hosting his presence is what I felt. And I felt like you're going to teach people how to host the presence of the Lord. In such a sense that when you come in, everything in the spirit is going to move in the room while you're hosting the presence. So it won't actually be a lot of structure. which is going to mess you up, really. But it's going to be a whole thing where I'm just messing with you. I need some of what you have, all right? I do. I really do. My wife would shout at me and say, amen. I need people like you in my life. But because some of us charismatics, we're so loose, we have no clue how to build something. And can I be honest with you? We know how to get in His presence, but we know how to build what His presence is saying. We really struggle with that. And so guys like him are critical to, I'm going to heal my wound there. Bob always taught us if you cut somebody, you heal them with the other side. So I want to heal you. But I kept seeing this, and you were going to have these events called hosting the presence or something like that. You can name it whatever you want. But when it does, I saw healings break out. I saw deliverances breaking out just while you're hosting it. And it's going to be like, because you have this gift anyway, your word of knowledge that really functions while you're ministering. And I felt like you guys are going to function with that as well, where you're just going to host it, and then you're going to watch and see what happens. I remember when, you know, Paul Kane's old prophecies about how miracles were breaking out. And I almost saw him at Lakeland when I was at the baseball stadium, the night with the baseball stadium. And people were getting up out of their wheelchairs and walking. And I felt like, oh, my God, this is it. This is the moment I've been waiting for, where nobody takes credit but other than Jesus coming in the room and doing what he's supposed to be doing in that room. And there's a time that we just worship by just watching what God's doing. It's not that we have to say anything. In Psalm 65, there's a weird scripture there. It says, then there will be silence before you and praise in Zion. And really what this is talking about, as we sit in his presence, sometimes in silence, it's praise to him. And we like to make a lot of noise in the Spirit-filled church. We're noisemakers. And I get that. But there is a time that you don't have anything else to say but him. I remember when I went to Pensacola once in about 95, 96, when the revival was really breaking out. And Lendell Cooley was leading worship. And there's about 2,200 people in the room. And, you know, the presence is really strong. And you could tell Lendell, he felt something going on in the room. And he didn't really know what to do. How many of y'all know what that is as a leader, right? He's like, don't want to mess this up. You know, just like let God do what he needs to do here. And I remember this moment came in the what we call Chabad. The weightiness of God came in the room. And all I could say in my mind was, get down. You do not want to be standing right now. That's what I heard. And I got down. I looked up and Lendell, the whole platform, everybody was on their face. And I looked down. Now, this room is full of about a third of the people are lost. They don't know Jesus. I mean, just people off the street. And I look down. I get on the floor, and I just look around the room, and 2,200 people are on the floor. Now, the sinners are going, what the? What's going on in this room? They had no language for what was happening, you know? For us, we knew it was the Spirit. I didn't cuss. I just wanted to, but I didn't, all right? Just because I was identifying with the transgressors. You know, I was numbered with them. Okay. But this is the whole thing, was they didn't know either. They just knew you better get down. Because when God comes in the room, nobody can sing. Right? There's a bishop Bishop Purd in Houston, has a church called Faith Tabernacle, I think it is. And that's the church where Tommy Tennant came to in the 90s. If you ever heard, the pulpit got split in half. And Bishop was telling me the story because he was in the meeting. He was the pastor there. And he said him and Tommy were standing on the platform and they felt the presence of God come in. And he said Bishop looked over at Tommy and he said, you need to get up there. And Tommy says, I'm not getting up there. And Tommy says, you need to get up there. And he goes, I'm not getting up there. And so they didn't do anything. They just sat there in the silence. And right then, a bolt, they didn't know what it is, they just felt electricity surge the building, hit a glass pulpit, and just split it perfectly in half, right there. And had they been standing there, that's what would have hit them, okay? Revival broke out, so much so that people were driving down the highway, the interstate, stopped their cars, left them running, came in the door, would fall on the doorstep, and we're getting saved. He baptized, he said, for 6 weeks every single day, almost all day long, baptizing people. This is in Houston. This is where you guys live. This is what started happening. He moved a church about 250 people. He was having to have 5 to 6 services a week, a Sunday, just to accommodate the people. Because people were just coming. And they just baptized. People would lay on the floor for days sometimes, just under the presence of the Lord. And that's just something I feel like God wants to do again. That it won't be in our silence of worship. As we get in this place, we just get before Him, and it is praise to Him. And this passage goes on and says, "And you the vow, and to you the vow will be performed." And the vow here is a promise. That means the promises of God are going to be released, and you're not going to have to do anything but just praise Him in your silence. Now, here's the important thing. Today on the Hebraic calendar is Pentecost. Okay, it's no mistake I'm here because we teach on the feast. 1 Corinthians 5 says Paul tells us to celebrate the feast. We don't keep them, but we celebrate them. And so we do this every year. So it's very unusual for me not to be home on a feast day because we love to teach this. But I really felt like I was supposed to be here. And what happened on the feast day, on this day of Pentecost, in the first Pentecost in the Old Testament, you got to imagine this. They're in the desert. Have you ever been to the desert when there's no, like really the desert? I mean, y'all have high desert and all. But when there's no cars, there's no lights, there's nothing. Can you imagine how quiet it is? It's just silent, right? There's no ambient noise. There's nothing going on. You're just in it. So here's Israel with the mixed multitude. You know who the mixed multitude are? That's us. Okay, well, that's the Gentiles. I mean, you know, Americans, we are Heinz 57s. We're a bunch of mutts. That's what I call us. You know, everybody says, what's your background? I say, we are everything. You know, amen. It's like God put all the nations right here in America, and we all just amalgamated to one group of people. But it's a picture of God joining us with His covenant people, Israel. And so there they are out in the wilderness on Pentecost. They didn't know really what was going on. And it's quiet. And in their quiet, they're worshiping. And here's Moses up on a mountain worshiping the Lord. And he's telling the people, let's just seek the Lord during this time. And there's a silence in the moment. And then all of a sudden, thunder comes. And the fire God falls on the mountain. And the Ten Commandments are birthed at that moment. And so there's a new word that comes into the earth. The word of God gets birthed in the earth in the moment of silence. So Pentecost speaks of just being silent before the Lord and waiting for Him to do what He said He's going to do. But yet you're worshiping Him in your heart. Because what it says here, in your silence before Him, we praise Him. So we meditate on Him in that moment. And so what happened there, the fire comes. Can you imagine being in the desert when that happens? And you're seeing this smoke and fire and you're like, what? And Moses comes down with the word of the Lord. And we see a nation being birthed, right, in a special way. So fast forward to Acts chapter 2, right? And this is the thing. 500 people in the book of Corinthians said were invited to the day of Pentecost. 500 were. By the time we get down there and we get everybody's schedules out of the way, we got down to 120. Because people had other things to do, right? That's a pastor's dream to say that at some other church. But anyway, you know what I'm saying? Can't say it at my church, but I can say it here. So they're waiting in this place. And you know, there's a lot of theological discussion now because everybody thought the fire fell in the upper room because the scripture says and they were in the house. But actually, when you look in the Greek, there's not a word for house there. It's not there. I think they just assumed that they were in an upper room and it moved to a house. It would be normal for the Jews to be at the temple on the feast. That was a very normal thing to be. And so, but it did say they were at one place. So what's most likely happened, this 120 people, among the millions that were in Jerusalem, because it was the feast. Yeah, and also you had the Romans there and you had the nations there as well. It sounds just like what happened in the desert. Because there they were, all gathered at one place. All the nations were there, and also Israel was there. And the same thing happened day at Pentecost. And so there they are huddled probably. And if you ever study the Temple Mount, you know, there's just a lot of areas for people to be. You can't be in the temple per se. The priests would be in there. But there they were huddled, and all of a sudden tongues of fire. Now, you can imagine the rest of the people looking at the distraction of the 120 as they begin to see the sound or hear the sound and watch these tongues of fire going on right there. And then they hear the declarations as they're hondoing, shondoing. And they're hearing their own language being heard and the gospel being declared in their own language. And can you imagine how ticked off the Pharisees were? because this was their day. You know, it was their Christmas, Easter, right? It was the big day. The big crowd was there. It was their big chance to have their robes and be seen. And instead of religion being seen, the presence of God was being seen. Okay? And so what happened here, that's why you could see 3,000 saved in a day. That's why you could see it. And that happened this day. And I want to say this. In their silence of standing there, God showed up. And so it's not about your vocal. It's not about your sound in the sense of having that. There's a place sometimes you don't know what to pray or you don't know what to do, but you just have this heart set on the Lord. And I want to say that's part of the DNA of this house. Is y'all been waiting on the Lord. And I just prophesy a Pentecost on you. That while you're sitting here waiting, you don't know what to do, that the Lord would just visit you in a special way, and then His Spirit would come and begin to resonate in your heart and function that way. And I want to just encourage you that you are going after the right thing. Michael, Heather, the whole team here, you're going after the right thing. It's a matter of maybe you invited more to be a part of it. But just take the people who are willing to gather together and say, look, we're just going to worship the Lord. And we're going to spend time together. And in that place, God will show up. Remember when Gideon won the victory and they defeated the Midianites? Immediately after that, a group came up and said, well, why didn't you tell us? We would have been there to fight for you. You know, and it was a good chance for Gideon to say, forget you. I'm through with you because we needed you and you weren't willing to be broken to be used in that moment. That would have been the opportunity for him to say that. But instead, he says, that's okay. There's a portion for you as well. God is such a good God that if you even don't participate with the breakthrough, God will still give you a portion. But we want to say that even for your families and for those that are around you, that you know they're not going after it. We thank the Lord that there'll be a portion for you. In this coming season, and this is a divine appointment for you to be here today. It's a divine appointment. There's so many prophetic things about being where you're supposed to be, the very places you live. And I have to remind myself that when you don't like where you live. How many of y'all been there before? You don't like where you live, right? So I have to remind myself, oh God. You said in Acts 17, the very places we should live are ordained of you so that we'd somehow find you there. I want to say this. If you're geographically in the wrong place, you're going to have a hard time finding the Lord. Because you've put yourself in the desert where God's not. I don't care how beautiful it is. If I was to move here and live on this beautiful mountain, I'd be out of the will of God. I would look at beauty every day but be miserable because I'm out of the will of God. So that's when you embrace the very place you're supposed to be. You know, he's supposed to come to Louisiana now, right, and get some water. Just get some flushing, right? But it's just a visit. It's not as permanent residence. And so there are places we go to get that. But I want to say that you're in a divine moment. You're born for a time such as this, right? We're born in this place. I love to tell my stories about my kids. And Isaac, my son over here, I'm going to tell a little story. He hates me telling this, but I tell it all around the world. Susan and I were in Israel. I was 42 years old. She's 41. We had two boys already. And, planning, you know, no nest and all that. Or I had all of my plans. And so we go to the well of Beersheba. Do you know the well of Beersheba is where the patriarchs would go? It's down in the desert, Judean desert. And Abraham was there. Isaac was there. All Jacob, everybody would come to this area. It's a place where they would have known that they would have passed through. So we went there. I was with a bunch of prophetic people, some prophets, and we're at the well of Beersheba. And so this prophet looks at me, and we see the patriarchs in the spirit in the well, and he says, Tim, let's make a vow here that every prophetic promise over our ministries and our call is going to come to pass. Let's make a vow. And so we did. We joined hands, and we made a vow at this well. So I go to bed that night. We're in Jerusalem. I go to bed, and I have a dream. And in the dream, we have another boy, a child. I'm 42 years old, right? So I wake up hyperventilating, you know, just like, this is a prophetic spiritual child we're going to have. We're going to birth a new ministry. We're going to do this whole thing. So I tell my wife, I'm terrified. I said, you know, I have this dream. And of course, she starts moving in the spirit. She's a redemptive prophet. So she said, I really felt the Lord said we were supposed to have another child. So I said, okay, all right, Lord. You know, this is one of those times that your plans and God's plans aren't always the same, right? And you have to be obedient. I want to say this for this house. I want to say it for individuals in here. Some of you, you've designed your script so much so that you don't plan for things such as this, that God's going to birth something new. Because you really like what you're building right now. And I want to say this, because I think you laid down that the night about your baggage and stuff that you bring. And this is the whole thing. You've got to be open and yielded and pliable to what he's going to say. So it took me about a year to accept the word. And so we finally said, okay, we're going to go for this thing. Right? So we get pregnant. She did, right? You know, I just had a lot of sympathy. But anyway, so we get pregnant. Doctors in the middle of it said we had a problem child and that we should consider abortion. And so we said, no, we're believers. I don't care. God told us we're going to have this child. We're going to trust the Lord in the midst of all this, right? So we started taking communion every night, prayed over her belly every night, my other two boys. Every night we just sit there and take communion. We prayed, just believed God for what he was going to do. And so anyway, the night comes. She's going overdue at that time. And women that are overdue with their baby bring a lot of issues into the earth. For other people. But anyway, in a good way. I couldn't blame her. So we had some prophets there, Bobby Connor and Paul Keith Davis and some other people. We were doing a conference. And so I said, can y'all pray for her? She's miserable. I mean, can we just pray? And so here's what they prayed. And here's Bobby's word. Well, the very time and moment that child will be born will be a prophetic sign to you. Thank you, brother. And it's not what we needed. We need you to say deliverance in Jesus' name right now. That's the prayer we needed. Anyway, but he didn't pray that. So she kept going overdue. And then finally, December 24 comes around, Christmas Eve, right? So we go to the hospital. She goes in labor. And I remember that word, the very hour and the very moment. I said, what happened today, December 24th? What is this day? And in history for Shreveport and for our region, December 24th is the day that William Branham died. He died on that day. And so the Lord began to speak to me, and he said, when this child's born, it'll be a sign to you that I'm rebirthing what that man started in this city. And it'll be a whole promise of what I'm bringing. That's why we named him Isaac, because it's going to be a fulfillment of a promise. So anyway, it gets late in the night, and they had told me, the prophets had told me, you call me when he's born so we can see what God's saying. So I said, okay. So he gets born at 9:31 in the evening. So I get on the phone to call these prophets, and I said, hey, I want to, you told me to call you when he's born. And I said, he was born at 9:31. And right then, this nurse walks by me, and she says, no, he wasn't. He's born at 21:31. And I'm like, so what? You know, what's it matter? You know, it's like, get a life, woman. You know, I'm talking to the prophets of God. You know, this is very important. So anyway, so funny story. So then, and he's born totally normal. Okay, I want you to understand, he's born totally normal. The doctor was like freaked out when he came out, totally normal. And believe me, he's normal. Anyway, so 15-year-olds. So then a little while later, I called another prophet. And I was telling him, Bobby. And I said, look, y'all want me to call you? I said he was born at 9:31 tonight. And this same nurse walks by. She goes, I told you 21:31. I'm like, whatever. You know, just, I said, I apologize. I don't know what her issue is. You know, just kind of like that. And so the next morning, we have him in the room, and I'm going to pray over him. So the Lord says to me, read the story of Isaac over him. I said, okay. So I'm trying to find the Bible. I'm not that good at memorization of numbers. So I find it, and it's found in Genesis 21. Now, I still didn't get it. I still didn't get what God was saying. So I come down to Genesis 21:31. And it says this, and the two of them were at the well of Beersheba, and they made a vow there together. So I'm like, okay. I said, God, is this not a divine moment? I've just lost my mind. And so he's a sign to us. He's a sign and a wonder, right? All teenagers make you wonder, but he's a sign and a wonder, right? And every time I look at him, I remember that promise. And that, you know, it may not happen today, but we're starting to see the first fruits of what we've been crying out for in our city. And beginning, because our city is very religious. You know, I think when the Pharisees died, they brought them and buried them there. And their bones are still there. But anyway, it was just one of these things that I just said, no, Lord, we're going to believe for that. And Bob and all these prophets kept coming in and telling us this. And I remember I went to Antioch one time in Turkey, and I went to the cave where the church hid. And I stood in there. I said, Lord, whatever happened in this cave, I said, let it happen in my city. And I think you need to do that. You need to believe that God wants to touch where you live. It's not enough that I got to go to Bethel, or I got to go to Kansas City, or I got to go somewhere to get something. When God says, I want to pour it out where you are. And so I prayed it. I prayed. I said, Lord, I said, I want this in my city as well, whatever happened here. So I go back home. Bob Jones calls me on the phone. He's a prophet, if y'all know Bob. And he said, yep, got a word for you, bro. And I said, all right, you got to know Bob. He's from Arkansas. So just pray. But so he says to me, the Lord said to me, what happened in Antioch in the first century, Shreveport will be to the 21st century. And I said, you got to be kidding me. And so these little prophetic acts that you cry out for in your silence sometimes, Lord, do you hear my heart? Do you hear what I'm crying out for? He answered my prayer and my vow, which is said, Lord, I just ask that you do that. I want God to show up where I am. I want him to show up where you are, but I want him to show up where I am too. It's not enough to just believe that God's going to do something. I think sometimes prophecies for revival get so worn out and tattered. It's like everybody has a prophecy for that. You know, you can get so negative about it and cynical. But the fact is, if you have a prophetic word, you need to stand on it. So then we have Sean Bowles come in. And so I was doing a radio show with Sean. I used to have a radio show, and I was interviewing him. And so he starts prophesying. He said, what William Branham did here, he dug a well. He didn't finish. You guys are going to finish what he started. And so, you know, all the pieces come together for us, all right? So this is going with your dream, because I feel like we're supposed to connect. And here's what would happen in Shreveport in the 40s and 50s, is that ministers would come there with nominal ministries, just barely making it. They would come to the city, sit under the anointing, and leave and have worldwide ministries. They would just blow up. And the A.A. Allens and the Coes and all these guys would come through Shreveport just to get something. And I really feel like this is supposed to be a place for that. I'm getting something while I'm here. You guys are getting something while we're here. We're saying, Lord, there's something in this place that I want to tap into. And I want to drink the water from the well that is here right now, right? And I want to fulfill my mandate. Now, you have a choice. Now, there's a negative silence you can have as well. That's not speaking out when you should speak out. And I want you to know this. You have a requirement to share what the Lord is saying here right now. God can do something without you. I did a whole message on Purim. And the story of Purim is this. Israel's in trouble, right? They're in Babylon. They're in trouble. And God supernaturally puts Esther in the king's house. And there she is. She has a chance to save the Jews. The edict comes out by Haman to destroy the Jews. And now Mordecai, her uncle, gives her a prophetic word or a declaration and says, look, here's your chance. Go into the king. Go into the king and cry out for the people. And I want to speak that over many of you right now. There's a moment in the spirit the Lord says, I want you to go into the king and cry out for your people. Cry out for your city. Cry out for your family. And, you know, it wasn't protocol to do that for her. So she's like, no. And she'd already hidden her identity. She wasn't telling she was a Jew. And there's an edict to kill the Jews. So she feels like she's safe. She feels like, it's okay, I'm in the king's house. I'm going to survive. So when Mordecai hears this story, he sends her another letter. And here's, if we would describe a sermon when he says you're born for a time such as this, it would be this. God doesn't need you, but you were born for a time such as this. And that's an oxymoron almost, it seems. But here's the thing. Mordecai had a prophetic word, obviously, that God was going to deliver the Jews. He already had a word that was going to happen. And he says to her, he says, look, if you don't speak out right now, it doesn't matter. God is going to deliver the Jews But if you don't speak out, you and your house will be destroyed. Now, how does that make sense? You know, that didn't make sense at that moment. She's thinking, I'm a Jew. If the Jews are going to be saved, I'm going to be okay. But here's the point. When God gives you something to declare and you don't declare it, it brings destruction on your house. It can bring it because you have a voice in that moment to do that. And your silence sometimes in the moment of declaration can be a voice of saying, I don't want to fight the fight. And some of you here this morning, I'm saying some of you are out of the fight and you better get in the fight. Now, here's the thing. God's going to pour out his spirit on this place and on your family, and on your city. And you can have a chance to participate with it, or you can have a chance to be silent and do nothing about it. And I want to challenge you right here, right now. I'm not going to be silent. When God's delivering, I want to be one of the deliverers. Because here's what would have happened. Let's say Esther would have said, no, I'm going to be silent. I'm going to do this. So when the Jews got delivered, or however they were going to get delivered, because Mordecai saw it, when they would have come in, the deliverers would have been looking for names and taking names of people who were silent and didn't say anything. And they would have come to Esther and said, did you stand up for the Jews? And she would have had to say, no, I didn't say anything. And it says, well, your house is going to be destroyed because you could have stood up and you did not stand up. And I'm challenging you here this morning to say, and to ask you to stand up when you should be standing up. And I want you to stand up for what God's doing here. And this is about personal reward. When Ezekiel and Paul said, your blood is not on my hand, it didn't mean that people are going to hell because you didn't witness to them. If you think God's that small, to think it, you know, I think preachers do this just to rile you up to be evangelists. You know, their blood's going to be on you. When they go to hell, it's going to be on your head. Look, God's not that small. And your disobedience is not going to stop him from sending another vessel to that person. Okay, I want you to get that. All right? It doesn't excuse you because what you lose is personal reward. And that blood will be on you that you should have been a part of that salvation or you should have been a part of his judgment by being obedient. And your personal reward of the believer's judgment will be either positive or negative based on your silence or your obedience to speak out. Okay, so really that's what it's dealing with. And so there's a chance for Esther, but she did the right thing, right? She rose up and said, I was born for this moment. She took the risk and she went into the king and she saved a nation. Now God was going to use somebody else if he didn't use you. So you need to get over yourself. We are important, but we're not that important. I think what Bill Johnson always says, you know, when somebody, he asks him, that's a beautiful song, and they say, well, it's all Jesus. And he goes, well, it wasn't that good. You know, I want you to, I didn't say that. Bill Johnson did. But it is this whole thing. We are the vessel of God. And God doesn't have to have us, but he loves to use us. And I just love the beauty of the Lord that he would use us that way. And I want to say that for you to this morning and for Michael and Heather. I know she's out there with the tribes. But I want to say this for this house. You guys have been faithful in the little things. And it's the season of harvest. Pentecost speaks of harvest. And so I'm here on this day to prophesy harvest to you. Now, harvest is what the Lord says it is. I'm not saying it's never numerical, but it can be and it will be. It's never what you think it is. It never is. It just God is never going to fit my mold that way or yours. But I'm saying you're in a moment of harvest, and this is a time to wave what God has given you before the Lord. If he's given you little, you wave it before God. You know, the first fruit harvest, they would bring it and they'd just wave it before God. So this is what I got, Lord, either much or little, I wave it before you. And what would happen the first fruit harvest when they would do that is that God would bless their harvest the entire year. They would be blessed the entire year. If they didn't bring their first fruit harvest and give thanks to God for what they did have, they would come under the spirit of poverty. Deuteronomy 28 says they would be naked and poor and in need of all things because they didn't give joy and thankfulness for what they had. And so we have to give joy and thankfulness for what we have. Well, but I like how Dave sings. I don't sing like that. I want what he has. Well, that's not my portion, I promise you. That's not my portion. And so I can't look at him and say, that's my race. My race is to bring my portion. Hondo, shondo, whatever, however I sing, right? Whatever I have, that's my portion. And I thank God that I have that portion. And in that, God blesses my harvest the entire year. I'm prophesying to you right now. Give God thanks for what you do have and the gift that you're functioning in right now and the ability that you have right now. Give thanks to the Lord for it. And God said, I'm going to bless you for the entire year ahead. I'm prophesying. Father, I speak that over this house right now. I speak it over every individual in this room. That, Father, this is Pentecost. This is the moment when we just wait upon you and you show up in your sovereignty. You show up in your spirit to do what you said you would do in this hour. And I pray for Church on the Mountain. Yes. For the Lord said, the well here has been cluttered. And for the Philistines have come and thrown their dirt in it. And you've dug it out and the Philistines throw their dirt in it. And you've dug it out and you've gone through this cycle. And the Lord said, cycle end. Amen. And so the cyclical season of the enemy filling the well is coming to an end because the Lord said, I'm bringing you to a place where the well will be guarded by my spirit and it will not be allowed. And those that would try to throw dirt into the well will face the face of God and will have to deal with God concerning their mouth and their actions. And the thing is that God said, I want this well to be deep and I want it to resound. For the Lord said, as I prophesied here before, but the mountains will resound with the sound out of this house. And there'll be sounds that come out and a sound of Judah that will be birthed here, but more so the prophetic sound that will come out of this house will cross over the mountains. The Lord said, Nevada is waiting for the sound. The Lord said, Utah is waiting for the sound. The Lord says, Oregon is waiting for the sound. For the Lord said, I've not set you in this boundary alone. For the Lord has expand your vision, expand your heart for what I'm about to do. For the Lord said, there'll be sounds and missions that come out of this house. There'll be missional statements that come out of this house that will begin to make declarations in other regions around here. This is a moment in time that you must embrace the prophetic word and begin to embrace what God is saying for you right now. Now, this angel that comes with me is here. His name is called the Winds of Change. And I want you to get ready because they're coming. And they're coming to individuals who are here. The first thing this spirit does, this angel does, is rip out corruption. And it uproots corruption. Now, before you get excited about that, it rips it out of your heart first. So I do a lot of repentance when this angel shows up. Sort of forgive me for any corruption in my heart. Any things that are coercive I've used, Lord, for my own gain. That's the kind of prayers you need to be praying. And Lord, I just ask that you help us here this morning, that our hearts be pure before you, that we not be corrupt in any way. And Father, I just pray, can you play? Because I really feel like there's a spirit about to release something through what you're carrying. And I want to release the winds of change here. Now, when he comes, it gets real messy for a little while. But he rips up things that have been sown in here that are sowing corruption and destruction. And he's going to pull it up and he's going to place righteousness in its place. And so just like Jeremiah said, you know, he's going to pluck and he's going to plant. This angel's coming here to pluck and plant. He's going to pluck up people from positions of authority in this region that have corruption sowed in their heart. Now, some of it is a spirit of deception. I've never been in a region where I sense a spirit of error like I am in this region. Like doctrinal error, error to believe demonic stuff, error to believe evil stuff. It's really strong in this region. And that's why you have so many weird people here. I'm not talking about you. You're good weird. There's bad weird and there's good weird, all right? You're the good weird. And so I want to release, the Lord gives me authority to partner with this angel, that it would just release it. I felt him here last night. And I said, do you want to do some stuff here? I just asked him, do you want to do some stuff here? He said, oh yeah. I want to blow over the mountains. So you will see natural things shift. You'll actually see natural, your weather's about to get real weird again. So as the Lord says, watch the weather. It'll be a sign to you of what I'm about to do. And my spirit's about to come in a special way. Okay? He showed up for me in South Africa a month ago. I'll give this testimony. I was in a place called Free State. It's north, south of Johannesburg. And this angel showed up and he said, prophesy this. Prophesy I'm going to send tornadoes here. And it'll be assigned to them. I'm about to uproot some things. And I'm about to uncover the wealth that's hidden in the land. I said, okay. So I prophesied it. So after the service, I talked to leaders. I said, isn't that a weird prophecy? And they said, yeah, really weird. We don't have tornadoes. I was like, oh, great. You know, it's when you're obedient. You don't think about that stuff till later. The next day, two tornadoes hit that area. It made the national news because they don't have tornadoes. One of them hit their governmental city because we were praying for their government. And another one hit a city where Kimberly, where all the gold is found. Because the Lord told me they'd find hidden treasures in secret places. And that he was going to stir up the wealth that was hidden in the ground. And so God gave a sign. And you're going to see the same thing here. I want to prophesy that to you because Isaiah 45 is moving through the room right now. We have a, whether you like our president or not, that's your issue. I don't want to get you in trouble, Michael. But I want to say this. I'm big into the prophetic. And I just trust what God's doing. I don't like his character. But there's a thing about Cyrus. He didn't know the Lord and God used him. But in that same passage, it says that he finds hidden treasures in secret places. And I feel like God is using this season. I think what Rita said the other night was, as weird as it is right now, it's a good time. Because everything that's hidden is being revealed. You know, that's why abortion is a topic right now. Because there's no more people in the middle, I'll allow abortion in the middle. It's either you want it or you don't want it. And when they started saying third trimester abortions, I'm in the big in the pro-life movement. That was it. We started winning victories. And just last week in Louisiana, we just passed a legislation that is the strongest in America. We just passed it. When Roe v. Wade gets overthrown, Louisiana will be the first state to ban the law. We've already passed the law that says when that falls, we are no longer allowed to have it. I saw one state recently, a doctor bought the abortion clinic and made the doctor sign a document that he could not practice medicine in that region anymore. The guy didn't know what he was signing, bought the abortion clinic, and now they're using it to help women. I'm telling you, we're going to win this victory because it is about life and it's about death. And the spirit around this area is a lot of spirit of death here. Not in a sense that there's not thriving here, but in a spirit of a death of the spirit. And the Lord said, this is a season I'm about to release my life into this area. And there are warriors, your kids in this house. I don't know how y'all stand there and worship with those little girls worshiping with you. Doesn't that mess you up? It messes you up. Because, you know, most kids are on their iPhones and, you know, they're not, no offense. You know, they're not worshiping. And I watch these kids in this house worship. So you've created a culture where they want to be what this is. It's not that they just want to be these people, but they want to be what the Lord is doing. And I just honor that. I honor that in this house. So, Father, I release by your authority. How many of y'all need change in your life? If you need change in your life, lift your hand. All right. Now, some of you are scared now. But I'm telling you, I want it. I got my hand high. Because you sit in this meeting on this day means you're going to have it. So, Father, I pray right now for the winds of change to come into this house and in this region and begin to move and uproot and plant what you're doing in the earth right now. Now, Dave, just sing over us. Just sing your spirit over us and what the Lord's prophetically showing you. But just release a sound over us of the move of the Spirit for this area. And I really believe as you're doing this, this hosting the presence thing is going to come. And this is going to be like the first fruit house that's going to host the presence. And this will be a place that people will come and say, I don't know what's going on there. It's just a place, the presence of God just seems to be sitting in that place. And it's going to spread beyond this building. where people are going to just know, I don't know what it is. I just feel better when I'm there. You know? We send teams to Burning Man. You know what Burning Man is? We send teams to them, prophetic teams. And the New Agers and the pagans come up to our teams and say, look, I don't know what it is about you guys, but there's something different on you. You got a different light, and we just want to get under that light. And that's what I felt is going to happen here. There's going to be a different light here, the light of the glory of God. And even the weird people, the bad weird people, are going to come here and say, I don't know what this is, but I want to get under it. So get ready. Bad weird people are coming. They're coming. All right? You'll identify because you got enough weirdness on you. But you're going to have the right weirdness, right? And it's going I'm sorry. It's going to come. So, Father, thank you for that. Just sing over it, Dave. Let's just worship for a second. If you need to leave, you can go. But I want to just spend a few moments here in His presence.
My eyes have not seen, my ears have not heard what You've prepared for me. I can't comprehend what You have spent. You gave Your life for me. 'Cause we are an ark of Your glory. 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 Oh, Jesus, You make Your home in me. You make Your home in me. You make Your home in me. God, we're thankful that You make Your home in me. Oh, You make Your home in me. You make Your home in me. See, we are an ark of Your glory. We are an ark of Your glory. We are an ark of Your glory. We are an ark of Your glory, Jesus. We are an ark of Your glory. We are an ark of Your glory. We are an ark of Your glory. Oh, You make Your home in me. Oh, You make Your home in me. You make Your home in me. Oh, Jesus, we're alive in You because You make Your home in me. You make Your home in me. Make Your home in me. Oh, Jesus, I'm so thankful, God, that You make Your home in me. 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 You make Your home in me.
Starting right now, get your healing. what Dave just started there, this hosting, his presence came in here, and in his presence is fullness. Fullness is everything that he's done. Every promise is yes and amen, right? His promises are his will. They're not just mere statements. And there's somebody here, your extreme back pain. I know on your right side, probably, maybe your left, it's my right, I'm feeling it. But the Lord is just beginning to permeate your back, the middle of your back. And I just felt like fire is going to start going through your back. If that's anybody in this room, I want you to just grab that healing right now. That restoration's right there. There's teeth miracles going on. People need really breakthrough in their area of their teeth. Your teeth speak of understanding and breaking things down. And so the enemy has tried to break down your understanding of what you're going through. But the Lord's going to heal you naturally and spiritually. And you're going to have clarity and understanding. The Lord is breaking this spirit of error right now for false doctrine that has tried to invade this area. False teachers have tried to come into this area recently. And the Lord said, I've marked them and I'm going to isolate them because my truth will prevail. And the spirit of truth has come to this region right now. So there's going to be a whole challenge come here to many people who are coming against the Lord with their false teaching. This is a better time. This is a time you better be close to Jesus and his word and just know his word like you've never known it before. There's also, there's been some real assignments of witchcraft that are being broken off right now. Now, these are actually assignments that the enemy has come. But there's also a witchcraft of the mind. In other words, just discouragement and depression, that type of thing that wants to sit on this area. And the Lord said, don't take ownership of it. It's a regional issue. It's not a personal issue. And what you're feeling is for your intercession, not for you to embrace. And when you pray it off the region, the Lord said, it'll come off of you. Okay, that's going on right now too. This back thing, the Lord's still dealing with some backs. If you need healing your back right now, let's stand up. I really want to pray if you're having real issues with your back. Okay, is there anybody right there? Okay. I knew there was quite a few of you. So, Father, we thank you for the restoration of backs, every spinal issue, every fire. Lord, the enemy has come with them a fire and come against them. I just say the fire of the Lord come and bring healing. Okay, I saw this on you. What's your first name?
Will.
William. Because you've been called to have a strong back and to be one who stands in this house as like a pillar. The enemy's tried to take your back out, just make you weary. And you know, when your back's down, you just don't want to do anything at times. And that's what the enemy's trying to do. And I want you to know the Lord's going to heal you, number one. Your back's going to be strengthened. I saw you lifting new weight. So things you couldn't lift in the past, you're going to lift in the future. But you're also going to lift things in the spirit that you've never lifted before. And you're going to be one of those that's going to be a truth speaker. And I just thank God for your life. Will, you're to bring the will of God into this house and into the places around here. Lord, thank you for this man. Use him in a new way. Now heal his body right now. Now the rest of you that have back problems, just if you're around them, put your hand on those people that are standing that have a back problem. And we're just going to release the grace of God because there's something about this problem that just shuts you down. It'll literally just, you don't want to get out of bed. You don't want to do anything. Back in the prophetic speaks of past issues. It's behind you. Some of you are battling past issues and battles of strongholds from the past. So the Lord's not going to heal you naturally, but he's also going to heal your past issues as well. So I speak to your past and I say your future is better than your past. And your past is not going to determine your future. You're going to come into a new season with the Lord. I want to declare a new season. A new season over you right now. Now I want all the little kids to come up here. All the little children under, let's say under 10 years old. I want all the kids to come up here. What's her name? Jordan. Hi, Jordan. She's already smiling. I'm going to prophesy over her. Now I want y'all to stand right here in a line, if y'all will. If you help me, Michael, just get them in a line here. 10-year-olds and under in a line. That's incredible. Here's what I pray for Jordan. Boy, the first word I heard over is fierce. She fought to get here. There was a battle over her. And a battle over her presence in the earth. And she will be as Joan of Arc. She will be one that looks for the battle. She'll be the one who says, this is what the Lord's saying, and we will take this city. She will storm city gates. Even at a young age, the Lord said, her gift will become alive. And she will begin to function in the prophetic at a young age. Angelic heavenly visitations will be the norm for her. For she's going to see what heaven is doing and bring it to earth. And this is, and I kept hearing this, the Lord's formulating a gift inside of her. So much so that she's going to be different than the other children. The other children have special anointings. But this one's going to have a different anointing. That's going to be so different than them. You're going to wonder, is she even my child at times? Because she's so different. But this DNA in the earth was for a time such as this. And so I pray for mom and dad that they have the wherewithal on to train her and to equip her. You won't train her like your other kids. It'll be totally different. It's like they're in Mars and she's on Jupiter or something. She's going to be in a different planet than them. It's okay. There's nothing wrong. Because here's what the Lord said to me. When I brought her into the earth, I brought her with a double mantle. And I saw two mantles sitting on her. Where normally we come to earth with one, she's got a double mantle. And she's going to carry something that's even beyond herself. So she'll respond that way. So Father, I bless her with that gift. Whew. Y'all going to do it? Hey, oh my gosh. Now y'all aren't 10, but you're close, right? All right. Let me pray over this. I love prophesying over kids. I mean, I love it. Because they do this stuff. They do. I prophesied this girl in Germany. I said, I saw her writing illustrated books and for little girls and boys to read. And I came back the next time and she published her first book by the time I came back the next time. And I was like, I tell people in America to do stuff like that. And they play it back to me on their phone. And so I like the fact that they go after it. And I think that's what we need to do is go after it. And these kids are going to go after it. What's his name? Trip. What a trip. There we go. Hey, buddy. Ooh. Boy, I saw him jumping off cliffs. The Lord said he's going to be a jumper. He's going to be a leaper. He'll want to go from mountaintop to mountaintop. He won't like the valleys. And the Lord's going to help him not go through the valleys. For the Lord said he'll go from one glory to the next glory, and he'll be a glory bearer. In other words, he's going to teach others how to walk in glory. Hi, what's your name? Nene. 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 Renee. I like Nene better. How old are you, Renee?
Nene.
How old are you? You're 3. Renee. That's Susan's middle name. Renee. Ooh. She's going to be one that really orchestrates the presence. And she brings order to her house even now. She tells everybody where they should be and how they should be doing things. Because the Lord says she's going to bring order to my house. And the presence will always be with her. And she's going to want to honor. She has the fear of the Lord on her. And she's going to honor his presence at all times. She's going to require everybody else to do the same. She's a boss. I'm not saying she's bossy, but she's the boss, okay? All right, what's your name?
Rosie. My name is Rosie.
Rosie. That's a good name. Did you come up with that name? No, you didn't. All right. How old are you, Rosie?
Five.
You're five. Ooh. Rosie's going to have the spirit of counsel on her. And she's going to want to really go one-on-one. She got real anointing to be one-on-one with people. When other people hurt, she hurts with them. She has a real discerning heart. She's a feeler. And so as she feels, she's going to release the virtue of the Lord. I saw two spirits sent on her, the spirit of counsel and might. It's going to follow her all the days of her life. She's going to walk in that. Hey, bud, what's your name?
Gavin.
Gavin. How old are you, Gavin? How old are you?
Seven.
That means you're going to heaven. That's good, all right? Thank you, Father, for Gavin. Well, he's a warrior. You know, he's a fighter. He leads his parents in a lot of intercession. And in a good way. In a good way. You're going to have to actually hold him back because he's going to want to run way ahead of everybody else. Because he wants to be a pioneer, and he has a pioneer spirit on him. And he will pioneer things. He's a little builder. He builds his own little world, but he builds things. He understands how things put together. He likes to figure out how things go together because that's what he's going to do in the kingdom. He's going to look in people's lives and see what should come together. Bless Gavin. All right. Y'all, after I pray over, y'all can go sit down. Let your parents deal with you. Amen. Amen. Bless. Amen. No. What's your name?
My name is Chloe.
Chloe, how old are you? You're eight. Lord, I thank you for Chloe. You want to pray for her too? All right. We thank you for Chloe. All right. Wow. She has a little prophetic gift, but she's like black and white. And she's going to be that way all her days. She's going to tell you what she thinks. And when she tells it, you're going to wake up and say, well, that's the Lord. She's going to have real clarity all the days of her life. It's going to sit upon her. So, Lord, I thank you for Chloe. All right.
Gianna.
I know, Gia. And how old are you now?
Seven.
She's seven. We all know her, but she's special, isn't she? And I just want to speak this over her. Yeah. You can take a break if you're tired after our conversation. She's going to be seated with the Lord in heavenly places because she's going to see above the situation, not below it. A faith, she's going to walk in faith like unbelievable. To believe for what everybody else will not believe. She'll actually get frustrated with people who walk in unbelief. She'll actually want to leave the room with unbelief. When Jesus said, you know, when he was praying for he said, everybody doesn't believe this, get out of the room. That's going to be her. She's like, I don't want any unbelief in the room because we're going to get what God says we're going to get. She's going to have faith. I'm telling you, at a young age, she's going to pray for the sick and they're going to get healed. So don't be afraid to pray for people who are sick, okay? Because you're going to have a healing anointing that's off the chain. Powerful gift. I just declare that over her right now. Hi, what's your name?
Emma.
Emma? That's a good name. How old are you? Four and a half. We have to have the half. That's very important. Okay. All right. Wow. Yeah, she's a dancer. Just kept seeing dance all over. Just a runner, a dancer and a runner. And it's like you need a fence to corral her because she always wants to run and dance and go to places that nobody else wants to go to. And so she's I kept hearing her say, mommy, 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 let's do this, like repetitive things. I know most kids do that, but this is a special anointing for it. Because a lot of things she's going to see in the spirit, and she's not going to let go until she gets what she sees. And so she has a gift of the fruit of perseverance and long-suffering. It's going to be really strong attributes in her life. And so, Father, we just release that over Emma. We thank you for what she carries in the spirit. Okay. All right, Olivia, how old are you now?
Five.
She's five. All right. We like Olivia too, don't we? She's the little teacher, And I kept seeing a teaching anointing on her. And she feels it's her goal in life to teach everybody. And it's going to be a gift on her to begin to bring people into knowledge and understanding. And it's a real strong gift because as her gift grows in knowledge and revelation, she's going to want to give it to everybody. And she's going to demand that everybody receive everything that Christ has for them. She's not going to let go. So she's going to be a deep intercessor who will be burdened for people and burdened for issues in the earth. When she sees something that's really unjust, she's going to really cry out for it. She's going to have a spirit of justice that's going to sit on her in a strong way. Lord, we declare that. All right. Hi. How are you? And your name?
Katie.
Katie. How old are you, Katie? I prayed for you last night, didn't I? Can I pray again? We just say a double anointing on Katie. Now, Lord, heal her. Every part. Heal her body. The Lord said she will be a testimony of the prophetic word of the Lord. And she will be heard in places that nobody thought she could speak in. I saw her with a microphone and a platform. The day will come when she will speak and testify of the Lord in such a way it will transform many. I just decree that over her life right now. That's a good word. Amen. Hi. How are you? What's your name?
Cameron.
Cameron. How old are you, Cameron?
Four.
Four. All right, Cameron. Let me just thank you for this one. Yeah, I heard the word liberator. She's going to have a strong gift of deliverance. Just really strong. She's going to deliver many. She's already trying now. She's trying to deliver whatever, little creatures, anything. She wants to bring anybody she wants everybody to be free. That's what she's going to have on her life. She has a spirit of freedom on her. And the Spirit of the Lord is going to bring her liberty. You're going to be a worshiper too. She's going to sing. She's going to worship. All right. What's your name?
I'm Sam.
And how old are you?
Good. Free.
Free. She's free. Amen. Emerson, Lord. Lord, I thank you for Emerson and what she carries. The nations you will go, she said, the Lord says. For the nations are crying out for you. Even now, you're going to carry something to the ends of the earth. The Lord said, get a map of the world. Tell your parents here. Who's your parents? Get a map of the world. Put it in a room. Because God's going to start speaking to her about countries and nations and people groups. And she's going to have this heart because the heart of the Lord's in her for that. And she will have a message and she will go and she'll take people with her. She'll be a team leader. Just kept seeing her whole life, Father. I just decree that, Father, in Jesus' name. Okay. Hi. Hey, bud, how are you? What's your name?
Free.
You're free, too? What's your name?
Sage.
Sage? All right. Men are precious. Lord, I thank you for Sage. I heard the word professor over him. So he's going to be an instructor, but he's going to profess the things of God. He's going to profess them in the ends of the earth. And he's going to bring knowledge to those that are bound in error. And he's going to bring real liberty and understanding. So he's going to have a teacher anointing to bring, like, make muddy water clear. It's going to sit on him. So, Father, I ask you to give him a word. Let the word of the Lord be upon him, Father. I just declare that right now. All right, you go after Sage, all right? What's his name?
Levi.
Levi? I have some pants named after you. Yeah. How old are you?
Two.
Two. You little bitty. Lord, I thank you for Levi. His knees were highlighted to me Because he's gonna sit before the Lord and kneel before the Lord and bring the Spirit of the Lord through intercession. You need to give him prayer assignments. His parents, grandparents, give him prayer assignments because he needs stuff to pray for. And he won't let go until he sees the breakthrough. I saw him hold on the horns of the altar and not letting go until breakthrough comes. He carries a breaker anointing, and he came into the earth as a breaker anointing. And he has broken a lot of things. And even in the natural, I saw him breaking things. Because he has a breaker anointing, it's just a picture. So, Father, I declare that over him, that he'd walk in that. That's pretty cool, huh? Hey, buddy. How is he now? Caleb?
Caleb.
All right, Caleb, 133, Psalms 133, okay? You go read that. So, Father, I thank you for Caleb. Woo! Michael, he carries the same mantle as you, but it's going to be stronger. Real father anointing, real apostolic mantle. He'll celebrate when others are doing well. He's going to have that gift to celebrate others' victory. And I feel like he's going to be a big sharer, a big giver, like you are. But you're going to say, you can't give everything away, Caleb. We have to keep some stuff. Because he wants to give it all. And he has 100% heart to give all. God made him that way. So he's going to have this tremendous heart of giving. So, Lord, I just declare that over Caleb. God, you'd use him in that way, all right? You go after dude, all right? All right. What's his baby's name?
Takumi.
How old is she? 6 weeks old. She's the most recent. How old's your baby? 2 months? 3 months. These are the ones who've been last at the throne. I like to get around them because they were just there. And so, Lord, I thank you for this special, precious one. Set apart. And I heard this. The Lord said, I'm going to use her to be a rescuer. She will rescue many. I actually saw rescuing people out of trade. One day, even out of trafficking, things like that. Setting the captives free. Those girls that want to abort, she's going to have a ministry to those type of women, girls. But her main thing is to pull people out of darkness into light. So there's a real evangelical anointing on her just to release the word of the Lord. She's a gift, and she will be a gift all the days of your life. Okay. All right. We're almost done. What's your name?
Camden.
Camden. How old are you, Camden? How old are you?
Four.
Four. Well, we thank you for Camden. Yeah, he's going to love the word. But he's going to wash people with the water of the word. He's going to make sure that they have the tools they need to accomplish what they're called to accomplish. And so God's given him tools right now to have everything he needs to help others. Father, I pray for this on Camden. It would just grow. I remember you from I prayed for you last night. You doing good? She's my friend now. All right. How old are you? Lord, I thank you. Another three-year-old that's going to set the captives free. All right? All right. What's your name? Do you have a name? What's your name? Aubrey. How old are you? 7. Okay. Lord, I thank you for Aubrey. Okay, come on. I thank you for what she carries. I worship her. The sound of the Lord. Can you come pray for her? She's supposed to be a worshiper. Can you stand up? Stand up. I'm going to have her pray for you as well.
Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this voice that is yet to be released. Lord, we activate this voice this morning. This voice would be heard in the spirit realms, in the heavens and down below. Father, we thank you. There is might, there is power in this voice. We release it in the name of Jesus. Songs and spiritual songs flow up out of this precious daughter like a fountain, like a bubbling brook. Where we see it, we anticipate the day we get to hear it, Jesus. We're expectant for the day we get to hear it, Jesus.
Understand what that means? You're going to walk in what she walks in a greater way, okay? I prayed for you last night, but let me give you one more whack, okay? And I'm going to see if I can remember your name. Your sister's name's Lily, right? And your name is, remind me, Anu. That's right. Thank you. Secret place will be your hiding place. I kept seeing you going into the secret place and coming out with secrets from the Lord. I saw Amos 3 on you, that he reveals his secret to his prophets. So you're going to have those type of secrets coming to you. So you're going to know things before they ever happen. You're going to see things in the earth before they ever occur, because God's going to gift you with that gift. Lord, I just decree that right now. All right. What's your name?
Reagan.
And how old are you? 9. Lord, I thank you for Reagan and what she carries. Yeah, I saw you like a creative, but creating things like, I saw you doing like earrings and bracelets and all sorts of stuff because you want to create something that's in your heart. But the Lord said it's going to be more than that. You're going to see things on people and how God created them, and you're going to speak into them. So the gift of prophecy is going to be real strong on your life, Reagan. You're going to hear from heaven and just say what heaven's saying. It's going to transform people's lives. Lord, I decree that right now for our life. Well, you have a precious anointing for children here. I really like what God's carrying here for the kids. Is there any more? Oh, got one more. All right. Y'all come over from the speaker. I prayed for her last night, didn't I? Yeah. Lord, I thank you. Keep seeing she likes me. Oh, Lord, I just pray. Lord, what we put in her last night, just be sealed. Let her grow in it. You want to speak?
She's thinking.
All right, what's his name? Dawson. Lord, oh. He's sleepy, isn't he? Yeah. He got in trouble. Thank you, Father, for Dawson. It's okay. I love it. But see, there's a cry because he wants to please. That's what I kept feeling on him. He's a God pleaser. And he doesn't want to be disappointed. He don't want you disappointed. And there's a whole thing on him that he's going to be a God pleaser all the days of his life. He's going to run after God. And he's going to bring the pleasure of the Lord on his life and upon the earth. Father, I thank you for that right now. In Jesus' name. Thank you for Dawson. And for your life as well. You know that song, It'll Be Worth It All? We should all sing it. I kept feeling the Lord said to tell you that. It's going to be worth it all. And the promises are not going to be lost. I saw like the promises just covered with dirt over your life and what you've been believing for. But I want you to know that underneath the dirt, the promise is still there. And right now, the winds of change are going to come. Are going to come in a way you wouldn't think, but they're going to come and blow away what has been hidden. And God's going to bring a full restoration of the promises that God put in your heart. God is working harder on the promises than you yourself. And I want you to hear this. He is being patient with the promises. His patience hasn't worn out. He's still believing for everything he's told you. So, Father, I just speak that over my brother. Does that make sense? Okay. All right. That's a good word. Huh? So what's that? He's 3? Oh, you're 3. That's that whole, he's identifying with being a three-year-old. I know he's from California now. I'm messing with you. Can we just pray over Michael and Heather? You guys gather around with her, and if you have something to speak over them, let's do that. You guys come up here, because I want to honor them. Look, nobody in their right mind will be a pastor. I mean, you've lost your mind, and you have to lose your mind. But these guys, and I just feel an honor to have any relationship with them. And I really mean that. There's certain people that receive you, and there's certain people that tolerate you. And these guys receive us. And, you know, the Bible told, Jesus told the disciples, when you go into a city and they receive you, you leave your peace with them. And so I feel like us as a team, we're supposed to leave our peace with them. In other words, you know, you got two levels of peace, and with us, there's about six or seven levels. So we're going to increase peace upon you and upon your walk. And if y'all get words for them, y'all, let's roll into them here. And so, Father, I pray for Michael and Heather, and for they've been set in this house. And the Lord said this, you are set here as much as you were sent here. For the Lord said, when I sent you here, I set you here in place. And you are the set leaders for this moment, for this move. Naysayers who judge by age, who judge by background, their words will fall dead to the ground. And what the Lord said is that the word of the Lord upon your life and your passion to bring His Spirit is what's going to cause the move to come, more so than any ability or any structure or any program you would ever do. Your heart is a birther, both of you. You have birthing hearts. That's the best way I can put it. And I saw your hearts just birthing new things, new ideas, new concepts kept coming out. And so, Father, I just thank you, Lord, that what has begun has only begun, but it will accomplish what it's sent out to do. There is a judgment on this region right now from the Lord. It's a healthy judgment. Judgment brings people to repentance. It's not a negative. It's a positive. And the Lord said, I'm positively judging this area to bring a people to repentance. And you're going to have your arms wide open to receive repentant hearts. And that's who's coming back. Repentant hearts. That's who's coming in. Who have repentant hearts. You know, a prodigal is not a prodigal until he's ready to repent. He's just a rebel till that time. You become a prodigal when you become like him and just say, if I can just get back in the house. And that's what God says He's going to send to you guys. People that just say, I just want to get back in the house. The house of God. I want back in. I'll do whatever it takes. I'll serve. I'll do whatever it takes. That's who God's sending you right now. To partner with you. Those type of servants and prodigals. So Father, we call them in, north, south, east, and west. True prodigals. Lord, that want to be brought back in the house. Lord, y'all guys got anything? Anything?
Heather, about a week ago, the Lord woke you up at 3 a.m. and you asked of Him something. I'm not sure what it was, but He said He's going to bring it to fulfillment. He's going to make the path straight. It's not something you do in your own strength. If you follow Him and you stay faithful, He's going to make the path straight. No obstacles, no hoops, nothing to jump over. And He wants to give it to you. Thank you.
Play that song. Will you play that song? His strength is proven. Oh, yeah. The Lord told me to sing this over you guys. I know that you were explaining something to us in private, just of the winter season that you're coming out of, and just believing God for springtime and harvest.
His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when we can't carry on.
strength is perfect. His strength is perfect.
You got anything from Dave?
I was just going to say, you guys cast the largest net of grace and kindness of anybody that I've ever worked with in ministry. And I think in this next season, you're going to start to reap that. What you've sowed with graciousness and compassion and your kindness and your just goodness to people. Your hearts are so pure. And the Lord has not overlooked that. He's you may not think that he's kept record of it, but he's kept record of it. And he remembers every gracious move, every gracious act, every move of compassion that you've done, and he's going to repay it in a very short time.
Michael, I'm not exactly sure what this stands for, what it means, but like Dave said, we've mentioned to you all 3 years. You guys are so gracious and so kind and so welcoming to us. You guys literally operate daily in grace. But I feel like the Lord is telling you, even though you're covering people in grace, don't be afraid to lead. Don't be afraid to step into your own authority. This is your house. You are the shepherd. You lead. You show your sheep grace. You show your leadership grace, but you still have authority over it. And never be controlled by your own grace. Always lead. Always control the situation. That's all.
I feel like the Lord has put on my heart to tell you guys that he's so pleased. He's so pleased with you. And you bring so much joy to his heart. You bring joy to the heart of the Lord with everything that you're doing. And just like the promise that he spoke over Abraham, that all of the nations would be blessed through him, I feel like the Lord has said that you are creating a legacy in what you are doing here. That it is not just for this time, but your ministry will continue from generation to generation. The impact that you are making on people in this room will spread far and wide, and it will not just be for the people that you see in this room and for the children that you see in this room, but it will be for their children's children and their children's children. It will continue long after you are gone. And the Lord is pleased with what you're doing. He's saying, good job. Good job.
You know, they need to hear that. And you guys, you know, I know y'all love on them, but as somebody who leads a local ministry, here's the greatest encouragement you can give Mike and Heather. Number one is show up. But number two is do what he preaches. Because you telling us we do great sermons and we do great jobs really doesn't carry much weight. Because our heart is to see you carry out what God put in your heart. And so when you do the stuff, it encourages us. And I want you to say, when you do the stuff, it encourages them. And I just want to bless them in this season. I know y'all love them. Y'all wouldn't be here at 1:10, 1:12 on Sunday afternoon unless you loved them. I understand that. And so I just speak life over you. Now, I'm going to stop my part and get back to Michael. But I do have some prophetic words I just want to give privately just to save time. It's for the couple in the back. Will, well, no, wait, no. Dennis and your wife. I want to do that. And the guy, he did the video the first night. Gray hair. Yeah, John, is that your wife next to you? I want to do that couple right there as well. There was somebody else. Let me see. Yeah, and you guys right there. I want to pray for y'all. Okay, so then if y'all will come up to me at the end, I just want the one they were you asked for healing. Earlier, yeah, those guys. I want to pray for them. All right, well, but I'll give it to Michael. Thank y'all for receiving us. We bless you guys. Look forward to ever coming back again. Amen.
Wow. I want to do something. We're going to close. It is Pentecost Sunday. Pastor Robert, this will take 1 minute, but I just felt it was appropriate. And I'm going to throw two more people at you, Pastor Tim. My Mongolian sisters. They have come here from L.A., and I just feel you need to word of the Lord. And but Pastor Robert is here, and he's going to just release a blessing over you in Hebrew. And then you're free to go, and you're free to fellowship, and you're free to take the word that we have received today from Pastor Tim and apply it. And so, God, we just thank you. Thank you so much for this. Thank you for this day. Thank you for your grace in this house.
You say Adonai Panaveleka. The Assemblaka Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and grant you his shalom on this Shavuot, this Pentecost, in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming. What a wonderful weekend. If you need any additional ministry, you're welcome to come up. Otherwise, God bless. We love you. Fellowship. Have some coffee. Buy up some amazing books and shirts out there. We love you. We'll see you next week. And hug on this team. Tell the team and tell the speakers you love them.